Today being Rosh Chodesh Elul, so I want to share with you some short thoughts. Some things maybe you've heard already, some things maybe not. So there are a number of famous Gemaras in Avodah Zarah, where the Gemara says that there's a concept of Yesh Kona Olamo B'Sha'a Achas, Yesh Kona Olamo B'Kama Shanim. That a person, some people, can acquire their whole world in one moment, and for some people, it takes a lifetime. So what does that mean? So Gemara here tells a few stories. I'm not going to go through each one inside for the sake of time. But the Gemara tells the first story here in Daf Yud Amud Beis in the first source, which I'm not going to read in time, inside. But the Gemara says that there was a certain Caesar, a certain Caesar who hated the Jews. And he gathered up his wise men, and he asked them the following question. He said, somebody who starts to get gangrene in his foot, so what should he do? Should he cut off his foot, or should he let it fester there and suffer? So all of his wise men said, surely he should cut it off and live and save himself. So this was a mashal to the Jews. So the Caesar is saying, oh, so the Jews are a gangrenous infection amongst our people, so I have to cut them off, I have to destroy them. So there was one man there amongst his entourage whose name was K'tiyah Bar Shalom. K'tiyah Bar Shalom. He was a non-Jewish advisor to the king. And he spoke up and he said, well, my dear Caesar, he says, first of all, you won't be able to destroy the Jews. And he quoted him a pasuk in Tanakh, and he darshened it. Not sure how he knew that. And he said, second of all, they'll call you a violent king. You'll get a bad reputation if you go about carrying out your genocide. So the Caesar heard out the arguments of K'tiyah Bar Shalom. And he said, you're saying very good, K'tiyah Bar Shalom. Memar Shapir Kamris, you're saying excellent. However, anybody who beats the king in a challenge of wits, which is what you just did, so you have to be killed. That's the punishment for out-arguing the king. So they took K'tiyah Bar Shalom out to be killed. And as he was being taken out to be killed, so there was a Maturnisa, a noblewoman, who was witnessing this whole story. And she said, woe unto the ship that goes without its captain. That goes without paying taxes. And this was a mashal to K'tiyah Bar Shalom, who was like the ship, and he was passing over into the next world without paying taxes. Meaning, he wasn't even Jewish, he never had time to give himself a bris milah, and here he is dying on behalf of the Jewish people. So, as he's being taken out to be killed, the Gemara says that he fell upon his orla, and he gave himself a bris by biting off his orla. Yeah. So, as they were taking him out to be killed, he said, all of my property I leave to Rabbi Akiva and his colleagues. So then they killed him, and a baskal came and said, K'tiyah Bar Shalom mezumen l'chayalom haba. K'tiyah Bar Shalom is invited into the next world. And Bacha Rebbe, and this is the last line here that I italicized on the sheet, Bacha Rebbe, Rebbe cried, and he says, Yesh kono olamo b'sha'achas, v'yesh kono olamo b'kama shanim. Some people acquire the whole their whole portion in the world to come in one moment, like K'tiyah Bar Shalom, with this one heroic act at the end of his life. And for other people, it takes a lifetime to acquire their portion in Olam Haba. That's the first story. Yesh kon olama b'sha'achas, v'yesh kon olama b'kama shanim. The second story is a more well-known story. Also Gemara Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Ches. The Gemara says a story about Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion. He was found teaching Torah in public, and he was sitting there with the Sefer Torah, teaching Torah, and the Romans arrested him, and they decided to kill him. This is one of the Asara Rugei Malchus. And they wrapped him in his Sefer Torah. And then around him, when he was wrapped in his Sefer Torah, they wrapped also all sorts of vines and twigs, and they were burning him alive. But in order that he should suffer, and they shouldn't burn him alive quickly, so they put wet wool over his chest. And that way the whole process would be much more painful and much more lengthy. So his daughter came to him. Just speaking out the story, his daughter came to him during this whole burning, and she said, Abba Erecha Bekach, my father, how could I see this happen to you? And he said to her, if I was being burned by myself, so that would be very difficult for me. But now that I'm being burned with the Sefer Torah, so Hashem, who will exact revenge for the destruction of this Sefer Torah, will also exact revenge on my behalf. So his Talmidim told him, and this is a whole sugya when it comes to euthanasia, his Talmidim told him, Rebbe, why don't you just open your mouth and allow the flames to enter your body and you'll die more quickly? And he said, no, Hashem who took my soul, he should take it, I'm not going to take it. Then the executioner approached Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, and the executioner said to him, Rebbe, if I add fuel to the fire, and I take the wool off of your chest, and that way you'll die very quickly, so can you get me into Olam Haba also? So Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion said to the executioner, yes, yes I can. So he said, Rebbe, make a shvuah, swear to me that you'll get me into Olam Haba. So he swore. And immediately the executioner added fuel to the fire, took off the wool from Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion's chest. Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion died, and then the executioner jumped into the flames and killed himself as well. A baskal came out and said, Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion and the executioner have been welcomed into Olam Haba. And here too, Rebbe cried. And Rebbe said the same exact thing that he said in the previous Gemara. Yesh kon olamo b'sha'achas, yesh kon olamo b'kamen hashanim. That some people acquire their entire portion in the world to come with one heroic act over here. It was the act of the executioner who was unburdening Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion of his pain and this torturous death. And some people spend their entire lives working on a portion of the world to come. Yesh kon olamo b'kamen hashanim. That is the second Gemara. The third Gemara is also a well-known Gemara, but here there's a Gemara. The Gemara phrases things a little bit differently, and I think that there's an interesting lesson to be learned. I saw this in the Perush Amudei Esh on Avodah Zarah on Daf Yud Zayin. So the Gemara says on Daf Yud Zayin, the famous story of Rabbi Elazar ben Dardaya. The Gemara says shelo hiniach zona achas ba'olam shelo ba'aleha. There wasn't one prostitute in the world who he did not visit. So pam achas shama sheyesh zona achas bekarche hayam vaisonotelas kis dinar bischara. He one time heard about a very expensive prostitute that was very, very far away. So he took a sack full of money and he traveled over the seven seas in order to get to this prostitute. And when he was in the middle of engaging her, so we'll put this nicely, I apologize for the crassness, but it says hificha. So she passed wind. So, and then she decided to give him a little bit of musr in the course of her such an exhibition. And she said to him, "Kishim shaficha zu ena chozeres limkoma kacher Elazar ben Dardaya ein mekablen osu b'tshuva." She said to him, "Just like this, this passing that left my body will never come back into my body. So too, Elazar ben Dardaya, he can never do tshuva. He can never come back to his creator." And Elazar ben Dardaya was so shaken by the musr from this zona that on the spot he left her and he decided he has to do tshuva. So he sat down amongst the mountains and the valleys, and he started to ask the mountains and the valleys, please daven on my behalf. I am in trouble. I've done so many averas. Please daven for me. I'm doing tshuva. And the mountains and the valleys said, we don't have time for you. We have our own problems. And then he asked the sun and the moon to daven for him. They said, we don't have time for you. We have our own problems. And the stars and the mazalos daven for me. And they said, we don't have time for you. We have our own problems. And the whole creation, he asks to daven on his behalf. And everybody tells him, we don't have time for you. We have our own problems. So, says the Gemara, until the point where Rabbi Elazar ben Dardaya realized, Ein hadavar talui elabi. He said, I see that it's all dependent only on me. And he niach rosho bin birka v'gab b'chiyat sheyatzta nishmaso. He put his head between his legs and he cried himself to death in the course of his tshuva. And a baskol came out and said, Rabbi Elazar ben Dardaya mezumen l'chayi olam haba. Rabbi Elazar ben Dardaya has now been accepted in the olam haba. And here too, bacha Rebbe. And here again, just like in the previous two stories, Rebbe cried. V'amar. But this time he says something that sounds the same. But if we read it carefully, we see that it's different. Bacha Rebbe v'Amar, he said, Yesh kon olamo b'kan hashanim, v'yesh kon olamo b'sha'achas. That some people acquire their entire portion in the world to come over the course of many years, and some people acquire their portion in the world to come in one moment. And seemingly, the application here to Rabbi Elazar ben Dardaya is that in this final moment of tshuva, even after living a lifetime of averas, so he acquired a portion in the world to come. And the question, lichora, that one can ask. We know Chazal's Lashon, the language of the Gemara, the language of Chazal, is very, very precise. So, if we look carefully, in the first two stories, Rebbe said, Yesh kona olamo b'sha'achas, v'yesh kona olamo b'kama shanim. First Rebbe said, some people acquire their whole portion of the world to come in one moment, and then afterwards he said, and some do so over the course of many years. When it comes to Rabbi Elazar ben Dardaya, it's in the opposite order. He says, first says Rebbe, some people acquire their portion in the world to come over the course of many years, and then only afterwards, some do so in one moment. So the question is, why is it that in the story of Rabbi Elazar ben Dardaya, the order of is switched? First, v'yesh kon olamo b'kama hashanim, and then only afterwards, v'yesh kon olamo b'sha'achas. So I thought, I saw in the Amudei Esh in Avodah Zarah suggest the following explanation, which I think is very, very gishmak. It says like this. Are you guys with me still? You are, okay. It says the Amudei Esh. The first two stories are about Goyim. The first story of Ketiyah Bar Shalom, so he spent his life as a Goy, and in the last moment he converted in the course of his death, and I don't even know if it was a full conversion, he gave himself a bris milah, there was no tefillah b'mikvah over there. The second story about the executioner certainly was a Goy his entire life. So in the case of the two Goyim, so the Gemara says, Yesh kon olamo b'sha'achas, v'yesh kon olamo b'kamashanim. You can acquire your portion in the world to come in one moment, or it can be over the course of a lifetime. That's for a Goy. Yesh kon olamo b'sha'achas. His entire portion of the world to come came from that one heroic act at the very end. But when it comes to Rabbi Elazar ben Derdaya was a Jew. And he lived his entire life as a Jew who did Averus. And then at the very, very end, he did Tshuva. And here, Rebbe switches the order and tells us, first, Yesh kone olamo b'kama shanim. Some people acquire their portion of the world to come over the course of many years. Yesh kone olamo b'sha'achas. And some do so in the course of a moment. And I think that the change in order is to emphasize that when it comes to Rabbi Elazar ben Derdaya, both things are true. It's not that he acquired his whole portion in the world to come in that last moment, but not with the rest of his life. For Rabbi Elazar ben Derdaya, it was both. Because Rabbi Elazar ben Derdaya did tshuva me'ahava. He was struck by the musar that was given to him by that zona, and that propelled him towards tshuva me'ahava. And we know that the Gemara says at the end of Yuma that a person who does tshuva me'ahava is donosav na'asu mitzvos. That even the averas that he did in his lifetime somehow change into mitzvos, and he's credited with mitzvos for every avera that he did. Which means that when it comes to Rabbi Elazar ben Derdaya, even all of his lifetime, all those shanim that he spent doing averas, was then changed into mitzvos through that last moment. So, Yesh Kono Olamo B'Shkama Shanim, Rabbi Elazar ben Derdaya is also included in the list of those people who spent a lifetime acquiring Olam Haba. How so? Through that last moment of Yesh Kono Olamo B'Sha'achas. That he took that last moment of his life and he used it to change everything. And it changed everything retroactively. Not only Mikano Lahaba. Retroactively, everything he had done up until that time became credited as a mitzvah towards his account. Now, Rabosai, this is true in the course of a lifetime, and it's true in the course of a year as well. We're coming now to the end of the year, to Elul, and there's a very geshmak of vort that I saw in the B'nai Yisachar that says the same yesod, that we can change the whole year at the very end, as we saw in the Gemara. The pasuk says, at the end of Parshas Veschanan, the last pasuk in Parshas Veschanan, V'shamarta es ha-mitzvah v'sachukim v'es ha-mishpatim asher nochi mitzavcha hayom la'asosam. We have to keep those mitzvahs and chukim and mishpatim that Hashem commands us today to keep them. And then the next pasuk, the first pasuk in Parshas Ekev says, V'aya ekev tishmun es ha-mishpatim ha'ele. Ekev, we'll see what that means. Excuse me, we'll see what that means. By you listening to these mishpatim, v'shmartim v'asisam osam, you observe them, v'shamar Hashem elokecha lecha es ha-bris v'sachesed, Asher nishba l'avosecha. In return, Hashem will keep for you the covenant and the chesed which He promised to your forefathers. So the B'nai Yisachar says a beautiful pshat. He says that if you look at the first pasuk, the pasuk here at the end of Parshas Veschanan, v'shamartas ha-mitzvah z'chukim v'samishpatim asher nechim mitzavcha, Hashem says you have to keep the mitzvahs that I'm commanding you. When do you keep those mitzvahs? Hayom la'asosam. Today. Every day a person has a responsibility to be scrupulously devoted to Torah mitzvos. But sometimes we don't live up to that responsibility. Sometimes we fall short. And when we fall short, we shouldn't give up. V'haya ekev tishmun es ha-mishpatim ha'ele. Ekev means at the very end. If you fell short before of what you were supposed to do, but Ekev Tishmun, at the end of the year in Elul, says the B'nai Yisachar, you come back and you safeguard, you listen to the Mishpatim Ha'ela, Ushmartim Vasisim Osam, you safeguard, you listen to all the rules, you follow them, so then you'll be Zocha to V'shamar Hashem Elokecha, Esabris V'sachesed Asher Nishpa L'Avosecha. So then Hashem will return in kind, and even though you were negligent throughout the year, since you returned to Hashem at the end, Hashem will then safeguard in turn the bris and the chesed that He promised our forefathers. And in a similar vein, I saw in the Sefer Amud Eish, on the Moadim, in the section on Elul, he says a geshmaker remez, boys, a very geshmaker remez to this yesod also, that no matter what our behavior was throughout the entire year, if we up our game at the end of the year, if we do tshuva in Elul, which is a zman that's mesuga l'tshuva, so then Hashem can accept us back no matter how wayward we were for the previous 11 months. There's a pasuk that says when Yehuda was trying to convince Yaakov to allow the brothers to go back down to Yosef together with Binyamin, that Yaakov should allow Binyamin to go down with them as Yosef commanded. So Yehuda says the following thing. Yehuda says, "Ki lule hismahamanu, ki ata shavnu zepamayim." If we would not have delayed, so we would have already returned, we could have gone and returned twice. We could have gone down to Mitzrayim and come back twice already. And now we're stuck here without food just because of this delay. Lule hismahamanu. So, if you look here in the sheet, Amud Eish for Muslim L'Chodesh Elul says very gishmak, Lulei Osios Elul. Lulei is Osios Elul. And you have to read the pasuk the following way, a Hasidish of word, that Ki Lulei Hisma'amanu, Chikinu Ad Sof Hashana, Chodesh Elul. Ki Elul, we waited, Hisma'amanu, we delayed, to Elul, we waited until Elul. Ki Ata Shavnu, Ve'achshavanu Chozrim B'tshuva. And now we want to do tshuva. Now at the very end, after delaying until Elul, now we're coming back to tshuva. The Baal HaTurim says, Ki ata shavnu zeh is sofei tevos yudke vavke. Ki yud is the last letter of the word. Ata hey, shavnu vav, zeh hey. Ki ata shavnu zeh yudke vavke. Now we're coming back to Hashem. Now we're doing tshuva at the end of Elul. Ki achta shavnu zeh sofei tevos Hashem. Pa'amayim, the pasuk says. Pa'amayim, twice. What's twice? Hashem twice. Where do we find Hashem twice? Hashem. Kel rachum v'chanun. Right? It's a remez to the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. That now that we're doing tshuva, even though it's the very end, we're coming back to Hashem, that we can come back to Hashem with Hashem, the double Hashem, Pa'amayim, the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, that we have a promise from Hashem, that when we say the Yud Gimel Midos, we won't be turned away. The Gur Aryeh says in Chumash, Hashem, like the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Kan Kodem Achet, Kan La'achar Achet, that Hashem with Midos HaRachamim is there for us before we do the Avera. It's the same Hashem that's there for us with Midos HaRachamim after we do tshuva, after having done the Avera. The Gur Aryeh says that when it comes to tshuva, a person can reach the same level of relationship that he had with Hashem before doing the Avera as afterwards if he does tshuva. The relationship is exactly the same. Nothing is lost, as opposed to when a person, if you have a good friend who did something, he was unfaithful to you, he did something bad to you, even if you make up, you might remember that in the back of your head. It might not fully heal ever, but when it comes to Hashem, when we do tshuva, Hashem accepts us back entirely, wholeheartedly. That's represented by the double name of Hashem, Hashem, Kan Kodem Achet, and Kan La'achar Achet. That it's the same relevant relationship as if Averas were never done. And that's being hinted to over here. Ki Lule Hisma'amanu, we delayed until Lule, until Elul. We delayed until Elul. Ki ata shavnu zeh. And now we're coming back. Now we're doing tshuva. Ki ata shavnu zeh. So if the Tevos, the Baal HaTurim says, is Shem Hashem. Pa'amayim, the pasuk says. Shem Hashem twice. Hashem. That even when we delay till Elul and we do tshuva, so Hashem accepts us back and he erases everything that came before. There is another pshat, another vort that can be learned in this pasuk, another remez found in the Amud Eish for Muslim on Chodesh Elul. I think it's a very geshmaker remez. You have it here on the sheet also. Od Pirush al Pasuk Hanau. Ki lule hisma'amanu. Now Chazal tell us that the word ki has four different meanings throughout Chumash, throughout Tanakh. It can be used in four different ways. So we're going to here discuss two of them. Ki lule hisma'amanu. Let's get the pasuk. There it is. You can see the pasuk at the top of the screen. What does ki mean? Ki miloshem daha. Because. Biglal lule hisma'amanu. We delayed because of lule. What does lule mean? Lule means if only. If only. So I'm going to read it inside. Harbe pe'amim adam choshev shelule kach hayali acheres. Velule kach hayali yoser tov. a lot of times a person looks at a situation in life and he says, if not for this, things would be different for me. If not for that, things would be better for me. If not, things would be different. And we sometimes tend to play out in our minds, if only this would have gone differently, if only that would have gone differently, I could have been this much better, I could have been that much better over here, and that much better over there. Lule! And we get so caught up with what could have been that we forget to work on what is. Kol ha-machshavos halalu shel lule me'akvim oso milasos ma'isa achshav v'lachshav b'tshuva lizchazik b'avodas Hashem. All these thoughts of lule, if only. So, hismahamanu, they create a delay. They distract us from taking action right now to do what we're supposed to do. That's in the pasuk. Ki lule hismananu. Because of lule, we are delayed. Because of lule, we lose focus on what we're supposed to be working on and end up dreaming of what we wish could have been, which is futile. Ki lule hismananu. Because of lule, we were delayed. Ki ata shavnu. Says the pasuk. Now, going back into the Amud Eish that you have on your screen. Ki miloshon ella. The second key in the pasuk is, it should be read as ella. Rather, instead of being delayed by all my lules, by all my thoughts of what should have and could have been, ki ata shavnu, rather right now we have to return to Hashem. Right now we have to do tshuva. And then the pasuk ends off, zeh pa'amayim. So zeh is gematria 12, obviously, 7 and 5. But with the milui, zeh b'miluo, if you spell out the letters, zayin hei. There's a few different ways to spell these letters, but if you spell Zayin, Yud, Yud, Nun, and you spell Hey, Yud, which are both acceptable spellings of these letters, so Zayin, Hey, Gematria is 92. But Zeh Pa'amayim, but if you have Zeh twice, you have to double it. That comes out to 184. 184 is Gematria Pekod. Pekod is a Lashon of Geula. Like the Pasuk says, Pakod Yifkod Elokim Eschem. The language of Pekod is the language that Bnei Israel were promised they would be redeemed from Mitzrayim with. Pekod. So if we do tshuva now, ki lule hisma'amanu, the lule is the if only is if things were better, if things were different, that prevented us, that delayed us from doing tshuva. Ki lule hisma'amanu, because of lule we delayed. But ki ata shavnu, rather now we are going to do tshuva. And in the schus of that tshuva, will be zocha to zeh pa'amayim, to twice the gematria of zeh, to the Pekod, Pakod Yifkod Elokim Eschem, will be zocha to the Geula, to Hashem accepting our tshuva and redeeming us on a personal level in the merit of that tshuva, even though it comes after all of that delay. It comes at the end of the year of Elul. And Rabosa, I want to end off with a story to emphasize how important it is that, especially now, a lot of us have been in corona mode for a long time. Some of us I know have been in camps, and in some places in America, people have let up. In Eretz Yisrael, also things have let up in terms of the restrictions to a certain extent, but to a large extent not. And in Mirtz Hashem, some of you who are listening are going to be coming back to yeshiva soon. You'll see that there are a lot of new rules because of corona. Some of you are in YU, are going to be on Zoom now for at least till Sukkot, and who knows how much longer afterwards because of corona. We're in difficult times, and sometimes when things, it's a rut that's been created in the world. We get on a low, and it's hard for us to pull ourselves out of it. And we start telling ourselves, lule, oh, if only I was in yeshiva, if only I was in YU, if only I was in Landers, wherever I'm going, if only I was in the normal circumstance, I would be doing better. I would be doing things differently. I would be makpid on all of my davening on time. I would be makpid to have more kavana when I'm davening. I'd be makpid to be learning better, to be learning more consistently, to be learning more hours. If things were different, I'd be doing better. We have so many lules, especially in our time. And we're telling us now, the pasuk is telling us, ki ata shavnu. No, now it's time to do tshuva. Now it's time to come back. And there will be zocha to zeh pa'amayim. And it starts with little things. It starts with small steps. I want to tell you a story that I heard recently, a geshmak, a beautiful story about a small step, a small gesture that was made that changed the course of somebody's entire life. There was I forgot the names, I apologize. Stories are always better when you give names. Maybe I'll just make up some names to be able to say out the story better. There was a boy named Daniel, made up name. Daniel was raised in a not firm house. He had no shaychus to Judaism whatsoever. Totally secular. In America. And when he was a boy, about 7 years old, he had neighbors who were from. There was another boy his age that he used to play with, Yaakov, made up name. And Yaakov had an older sister. Her name was, made up, Rivka. And the older sister Rivka would come and babysit Daniel every once in a while. And she babysat him. And he grew up, that was his only exposure throughout his entire life to any frum Jews. And after he graduated high school, he decided he was going to join the U.S. Army. That's what he did. He joined the army, and he was sent out to fight in Iraq. And he said that when he was in Iraq, I heard this story from Rabbi Yoel Gold. He has this website, which I recently came across, where he tells these awesome stories. So so Daniel joined the American Army. He was fighting in Iraq. And he was on one of these armored vehicles, and it was his day to do patrolling in some certain area, which he had gone through that area before. And part of his patrol, they had to ride in this armored vehicle through a crowded marketplace. And on one certain day, when they were coming, approaching the marketplace, he noticed that everything was eerily quiet. It was usually a very bustling, loud marketplace, and on that day, it was empty. And he had a bad feeling about it. He knew he had been involved in combat before on this tour in Iraq, and he knew that this didn't bode well for him and his soldiers, and he was sure there was going to be some kind of ambush as they approached this marketplace. And the only thing he could think of to do was to call out to God and to pray to him. And the problem was that he didn't know how to pray. He was Jewish. He never had any exposure to Frum Judaism, and he didn't know how to pray. And as he was thinking to himself, how can I call out to God? How can I pray? He remembered that when he was a little boy, 7 years old, his babysitter, Rivka, one time put him to sleep and taught him to say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, before he went to sleep. And when he asked her as a child what this was, she explained to him that this is a prayer that we say to Hashem before we go to sleep, and it's a prayer that we ask Hashem to protect us and the Jewish people. And so at that moment, he remembered Shema Yisrael, and as he approached this abandoned marketplace in Iraq, he called out Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And as he's saying those words, there's an explosion, and all around him, things become chaos. And he said that there was some piece of shrapnel that injured him that was centimeters away from killing him. And he was sure after this whole story happened that he was saved because his life was saved because he said Shema Yisrael. Okay, he goes on, he continues his tour in Iraq, a little bit more inspired, and a few days later, the chaplain approaches him, and he comes to him with a yarmulke and a sitter, if I recall correctly. And he says, "You're Daniel?" And he says, "Yeah." And the chaplain said, he hands him the yarmulke and the sitter, and he says, "I thought you might want to have this." And he hands him a yarmulke and a sitter, and he graciously accepts it. And Daniel says to himself at that point, "God, you must be sending me a message here. I'm listening to your message." And he decides at that moment that when he's released from the army, he's going to go to Israel and he's going to explore more his Jewish heritage. So that's what happens. He's released from the army. He comes to Eretz Yisrael. He finds his way to some yeshiva. I forgot which one. I'm not even sure if they said which one. And he enrolls in yeshiva. He wants to find out a yeshiva for Bali Tshuva. He wants to find out more what it means to be a Jew. And when he comes to that yeshiva, so he's reunited now to a Rebbe, who he had known as a little boy, his little friend Yaakov, that he used to play with across the street. That boy becomes his Rebbe in the yeshiva when he comes to Eretz Yisrael. And that changed his whole life, and then he lives the rest of his life until today, however old he is now, as a firm Jew. Rabosa, we don't know what one small gesture, what one little thing that we do, what kind of impact it can have on the world. This babysitter says Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, with a 7-year-old secular boy one night before he goes to sleep, and then many, many years later, she causes him to be Chozer B'Tshuva. It's unbelievable. And even when we're in a rut, and we're in a matzav of lulei, if only this, if only that, we have to push ourselves, something small, a little bit better. Now we're in Elul. It used to be, they say stories in Europe, that when they come to Elul, Rosh Chodesh Elul, so the Gedolei Rosh Yeshivas would faint when they would hear the word Elul. Elul is the beginning of the tshuva process. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai for the second Luchos on Rosh Chodesh Elul. He came down 40 days later on Yom Kippur, Salachti Kidvarecha. This is the time now, and every little step can make a world of difference. So everybody should have, in Yitz Hashem, a good Chodesh Elul, a Tziva V'Chasima Tova at the end of the process, and lots of good things for you and for your families, for the entire